Nice to have you on this Sunday morning as we take a look all around baseball. It's always a pleasure to do that and bring in our good friend from Arizona. He is a senior writer for MLB.com, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. And as you say, you're Marty Lurie.
That's correct. And I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. That's the key. Hey, nice to have you with us today. It's a pleasure to get you on. And I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm a New Yorker, you know, born in Brooklyn. You've got a lot of New York behind you as well.
I'm a New Yorker born in the Bronx.
Yeah, and look, you know, we've got a lot of friends from our area there that we talk baseball with. But the New York Mets, this is a story. And I chatted a little bit with Bill Madden of the New York Daily News this morning about it. He says the Mets are for real. The pitching staff can go toe-to-toe with anybody. He thinks they're better than Washington. And New York Mets, the 11-game winning streak. Barry, what do you see with the New York Mets?
You know, I think maybe my buddy Madden is drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I mean, I think they're good, but I think they're on an extraordinary early season run. They've done this before. You know, they've had the Yankees number really over the last few years in these matchups during the Subway Series. I think they're like 7-3. They've won 7 out of the last 10 meetings between the two teams. What I think is fun is at least, you know, it's the end of April and, you know, you go into this series where Yankees are in a share of first place. So are the Mets, you know, that's the first time that's happened. So, and the teams have really been competitive with each other since the 2000 World Series. So I think anytime you have that, it's fun. And, you know, I think they're built to win for the long term. That's what Sandy Olsen has done. But, you know, saying that, you can only sustain so many injuries. I mean, you know, last year they went into the season, you know, they lost their closer Parnell to an arm injury and they had to fill in all season. Again, here, Mejia gets suspended for half a season and, you know, they're playing using Familia, their number two guy, eighth inning guy to close. How long is that going to last? I mean, there are just too many, you know, ifs with that team, and I just don't agree. I don't think their pitching staff is as good as Washington.
All right. Well, it's a great story early on in baseball. Barry Bloom with us. You know, you look at Matt Harvey, 4-0. You look at Colon, he's undefeated. Jacob deGrom, Rookie of the Year. And then two guys who I think are very underrated, come on, for a staff, and that's Dylan G and Jonathan Neese. And you're right, though, but you look at that everyday lineup. They've got a superstar in Lagares in center field. Duda at first base gets all the big hits. Kadire is giving him some veteran stuff. Granderson still can't do anything. And Wright is out. But, Barry, there's something about, you know, we love pitching today. And, you know, it's a different era of baseball. The home runs are down. The runs are down. And you look at something like this and, you know, you get a little momentum. And it's a good story. What about Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees? So who's got the back page in New York right now, Mets or Yankees?
Well, obviously, A-Rod's giving the Yankees a lot more than anybody could have anticipated. And you know, at this point, you know, you look at him and say, I saw him in spring training early on. His bat looked really slow. You know, if they give him fastballs, he seems to be able to catch up with them right now. You know, he had that great game against Tampa about a week ago with two home runs, you know, knocked in four out of the five runs in the game, helped the Yankees win. That really got them started again. So anything they get out of Rodriguez is gravy because I don't think anybody expected them to get anything out of him. And then on top of it, it puts them in this, you know, weird position where the guy they actually didn't want to even have on the roster is one of the reasons why they're winning. And fans in New York, fans anywhere, are very much like any people where essentially if you win, all is forgiven. And if you're playing well, he's the redemptive story of the season. Kind of like where we're in a situation now with you know, Bonds having won his case and his conviction being overturned. I thought there were kind of nice bilateral stories going on two coasts with two guys who need nothing more than redemption.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad. I'm so glad you brought that up. That was a good segue for you. You're reading my mind this morning, Karnak.
We talk enough so that, you know, I should be able to reach your mind.
Very good. Yeah, I want, because you're very close to Barry Bonds. And what is the future for him? Bob Nightingale wrote a Hall of Fame for Barry Bonds, without a doubt. What do you see the near future for Barry Bonds, the effect of the overturn by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals?
Well, locally, for you guys, I just see that it leaves any sort of gray area for the Giants to move forward and formalize some sort of agreement with him to give him a formal position and ultimately retire as 25, maybe put up a statue by the ballpark. It's kind of like you're adding to the year of redemption. It's kind of like what Major League Baseball is finally doing under Rob Bedford with Pete Rose, letting him in slowly but surely. He's back on Fox. He's been accepted as part of the All-Star Game festivities in Cincinnati, which all seems to me, once he does his research, is going to lead to some sort of limited entry back into the game. And I think that's what's going to happen with Barry, too, ultimately. Whether it has any sort of effect on the voters and their Hall of Fame vote, and look, these guys, and you know what side I'm on it. You know what side Bump is on it. You know, we're the minority at this point. But our brethren have tried and convicted him. They think he had a big head. They thought his body had changed. They thought he was hitting home runs longer. I mean, it's all circumstantial evidence, but they've been willing to try this guy on that circumstantial evidence and give him only 36% vote for the Hall of Fame. So I'm not sure how much that's really going to change because of this, if at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, of course, the Craig Anderson part can never be overlooked. That's the trainer who refused to testify to give validity to the record. So that was the big part of it. All right, let's move on from Barry Bonds. But there are good things in his future. I agree with you on that. The Hall of Fame may take a little bit more time. You're down in Arizona. You got to see Diamondbacks all week long. Anything we saw him, heck, Hellickson pitches today. He stuck it to the Giants last Sunday as well. What was your week with the Diamondbacks like?
I actually had a sit down with La Russa to talk about his year with the team, making the transition from being a guy as a manager who was in on player personnel decisions. But as he so aptly said, he always understood that the guys upstairs had the final decision, and then it was his job to get the most out of those players. And now it's reverse roles, and it's been an adjustment for him. And, you know, really, I think the team is much better than I thought they would be. You know, I ran into Dave Stewart in the press box, and we talked a little bit about it the other night. You know, they're getting, even he was laughing about it, they're getting a lot out of nothing. You know, I really like Chip Hale. You know, you guys know him well there. He worked with Bob over in Oakland. I think he's a great baseball man. I don't see anything he's doing as a manager. It's almost like he's been around so long as a coach that this sort of fit him like a pair of slippers. There's been no real adjustment that I see him being a first-year manager. He looks like he's done this a while. And that's so refreshing after being around, you know, the Gibson Tower years where – Towers was making trades for no apparent reason, and Gibson just couldn't manage a game. And so it's nice to see these guys. You know, they're all in this situation where, you know, Tony and Hale and Stu, they all have great resumes and backgrounds, and they're all doing these jobs for the first time. And because I have long-term relationships with them going back so many years in so many different capacities, and not Chip as much, but the other two, it's like you want to see them succeed. And the team plays hard. It's very fundamentally sound. It's much better than it was. And that's helped them win some games. And every game's competitive. And that's all you can really ask. I mean, really, they're outmatched by Pittsburgh, who they've lost to the last couple of nights in games that, you know, were 1-1 coming down the end. But they're still playing toe-to-toe with them. And, you know, that's fun. All you want is, like, a team to show some improvement. And I thought going into the season, maybe you're looking at more losses than 98 from last year, And now, you know, it's a long season, but as we always talk about, I'm willing to make an adjustment that maybe they'll be a little bit better than last year. It's tough for them because they just don't have very much depth.
All right. Hey, great to have you on this morning. I know you'll see another game today. And that Met game is the night game tonight. And it's Jonathan Nease going against Nathan Eovaldi. I'm going to watch it. I'm interested in the Mets to just see how good they are. 11-game winning streak. Teams in April that do it generally make to the postseason. So we will see what happens. But the West is a wild story. We'll catch up with you next week. The Angels are in town. But last night, Dodgers, Padres, home runs all over the place. McCarthy's got a bad elbow. And it's not your Padres of last year, I'll tell you that. So good start to the season. I always appreciate having you on and look forward to catching up with you.
And just a quick aside before I leave, just take note of the Yankees and their bullpen, because this may be the best bullpen in Major League Baseball.
Really?
And the way that Girardi is using them right now, the fact that Andrew Miller is their closer and Betances is setting up, it's very deep. If they get their starters through six innings, they're going to win a lot of games, and that's why they're going to be dangerous in the division. And just a little note, I was looking back at it. Miller is the first lefty reliever closing for the Yankees for any consistency since Dave Rigetti was there in the 80s.
I was going to go Sparky Lyle, but you're right, Dave Rigetti. Cool. Hey, very good. Great report. I always love talking ball with you. Barry Bloom, MLB.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, thanks. All right, Barry Down. Always good to talk baseball. This is Sunday morning. This is what we do on Sunday morning. You sit back, you relax, and we look at the big picture of baseball.